Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is July 26, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Today, I'm joined by, I'm going to say, the best cocoa consultant in the industry, and not only U.S., the world, but Jeffrey Rosinski. Hello, Jeffrey. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike. You're always too generous and too kind with the comments, as always, but a pleasure to be with you.
You know, if I ever need cocoa advice, I come to you. You know that, right?
I don't know that, but it's nice to know.
I ask you a ton of questions. Well, today I thought we would talk about cocoa and chocolate. There's been a lot happening, but first, before we get into that, I just, sports is pretty boring right now. What has been your favorite thing this summer so far? What is the best thing you've done this summer?
I think my favorite thing has been eating ice cream and staying inside an AC with all the heat.
That's right. You guys are getting hot out there. Over 100 degrees.
It's 100 degrees everywhere. I was traveling last week in Colorado, Nebraska, and I took off. It was 100 degrees. When I landed on the East Coast, it was 100 degrees. So,
oh my God. But what time of night was it?
It was late. So it's been hot all over. And Europe's got a raging inferno going on over there too, setting new records across Paris and much of mainland Europe this week as well. So,
oh my gosh. Well, my favorite thing so far has been last night. I emceed the community pool's talent show for the kids. And I got to do what I love to do, and that was give out candy, which all the parents loved me. So it was fun.
You gotta love candy.
Yeah, it's good. Moderation, right? Well, let's go. Let's start talking about cocoa. Lots been happening. And, I thought today we would talk about some of the factors. We were hanging around the 22 range on futures for quite some time. And boy, that's really come up here recently. Let's talk about a couple of the factors that are getting us to that those higher levels in a little bit more detail. Let's start with talking about this minimum price guarantee with the Ivory Coast and Ghana. What is that all about, and what does it mean and the impact?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're spot on. The market had been pretty complacent and sort of asleep in that 2200 to 2300 level range.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we kind of amped up into a higher plane or a higher level, this like 2400 to 2500 level. And have a lot of people questioning and asking, why have we kind of gone up by this $200 price level? And I would say the whole thing got kicked off back in June. There was a meeting over in Accra, over in Ghana, where the cocoa bod there, the official marketing alarm, along with the official marketing regulators for Ivory Coast, kind of came together and said they would suspend forward selling of the 2020 and 21 crop year until they had come to some sort of an agreement with the industry about a new minimum price guarantee.
Wow. So that's a big impact, isn't it?
Absolutely. So there weren't a lot of details at that June meeting, but then there was a subsequent meeting following month and early July, a technical meeting to kind of work out what some of the details would be around what they mean by this minimum price guarantee. So I'll try to break it down or like what it means. So they've effectively suspended forward selling of their crop, not the upcoming one, which would start in October of this year, but rather the 2020-21 crop year, which would start in October of next year. So very forward looking.
Okay.
So it's not a here and now, like here today phenomenon, but more forward looking into the future.
Got it.
And it's really composed of several elements. So they said that they wanted to kind of set a minimum price of $2,600 FOB for their crop in an attempt to try to lift the returns back to their farmer base for better, better returns, which totally makes sense. And I think most of the industry is on board with. And what they had said is that they wanted to sell 70% of the crop at a minimum of 2,600. Between a price level of 2,600 and 2,900, there would be a further bonus that would be paid back to the farmer. And then anything above 2,900 on the market level, they would accrue into a stabilization fund, meaning if prices were lower at some point in the future, they would save up that money during times when the market was better than 2,900 to use to help stabilize pricing. Now, the other detail that's worth mentioning is they also referenced what they refer to as a living income differential, or the LID, the LID. of $400 of a guaranteed payment that would go back to the farmer.
Wow.
And so all these details were kind of communicated at the technical working meeting in Abidjan and in Ivory Coast in the month of July.
Okay. And so is this set in stone and moving forward, this is the way it's going to be, or is there still room for negotiation on this?
Well, that's, I think, in theory, how the program is supposed to work. In practice, I think it could look a little bit different to that. I think the meetings that took place, the initial meeting in June to announce just the general construct, and then the July technical meeting that announced all the details, I think most people are on board with, in theory, that it makes total sense to have a higher living wage going back to the farmer to encourage them. Mm-hmm. I think the question for me is whether this is going to represent a shift along the supply curve or a shift of the supply curve. If you remember back to your general econ 101, classes. And in effect, what I mean by that is, will.
Yeah, I was going to say, for someone like, well, Kevin's not here, so I'll throw him under the bus. For those that missed their econ class for other reasons in college, can you explain that?
Yeah. So yeah, if you slept in and you miss that class, if the price goes up, obviously people tend to want to buy less. And conversely, people who are trying to sell a good at a higher price are willing to sell more. That's a shift along the supply curve.
Okay.
If you have new suppliers enter the business or you push certain suppliers out of the business, that's a shift of the supply curve. So rather than shifting kind of along on a linear basis, you kind of create a new line that's parallel to the original line.
Got it.
I don't want to get too complicated in the whole thing, but
yeah.
It would totally rationally make sense from an economic behavior standpoint. If you raise or elevate the prices of things, people are generally going to speaking, maybe still want to consume that good or service, but will probably consume less of it because of the new higher price.
Right. And we've seen that as the terminal market has gone over 3,000. That was one of the big things back in the day when I was closer to cocoa and chocolate. They say, well, how is that going to impact chocolate demand?
Right.
Especially in emerging countries where they don't have a tradition of doing it, but had started getting an appetite for it. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So bottom line, this announcement is bullish in general to futures.
Yeah, overall, I would say the original interpretation of this by most people in the market is it was bullish because it's going to create a new higher, quote unquote, floor price for cocoa, or it's going to elevate the price levels that people will have to pay for cocoa. So certainly the funds and the speculators, they certainly jumped in on the back of this. And that's what's kind of sent us up into that higher plane of price level from, as you said, 2,200. Where today we're closer to that, 2,400 level.
Great. Well, let's shift over to grinds because that we've seen a lot of announcements on Q2 grinds in several areas of the world.
Yep.
Why don't you give us a quick recap of what's been reported and potential impact?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are three major reporting regions. You've got North America, you have Western Europe, and you have Asia. Those are the main regions that people look at. There are some others that do release, like Malaysia or GPEX, et cetera. But the three primary that people will usually refer to will be those three regions that I mentioned. So we'll start with North America, because that's where we're based. And for the second quarter of this year, we were actually up 3.7%, so indicating healthy, positive growth and increase in consumption. Year over year, which is encouraging. The next region really to talk about is Western Europe. And that was kind of the flip side. So that was a bit of a bust or a bit of a disappointment. They were down 3.2% in the second quarter.
Too hot.
Exactly. So that was kind of undid the positives of North America. The last region to talk about is Asia, and they've just been killing it. They've been cranking out their consumption and their demand pattern. They were up double digits, so a whopping 16.3% up in the second quarter compared to last year. So they continue to be on a torrent in terms of their pace of cocoa consumption. I thought it was more interesting because I think people can sometimes get lost or a little bit myopically focused on one number, one region, or one quarter.
Right.
They get so close to the tree they can't really see the forest. And so what I wanted to do was kind of step away from it and say, this is all well and good. You had one that kind of met expectations, one that disappointed, and one that exceeded. What does all this mean? And so I looked at our cumulative grind for the crop year starting in fourth quarter of last year, and I combined the fourth quarter of last year with the first and second quarters of this year in all of the major reporting regions, tallied them up into an aggregate number, and I said, you know, where are we then season to date? And lo and behold, we're up 3.5% weighted across all those regions on a season to date basis with one quarter remaining.
Okay.
And I would say, Mike, you know, by and large, that kind of falls within the palatable range of most analysts and most estimates for the pace of grind and growth that they had anticipated in demand for this current crop year.
Got it. Okay, great. Well, that's a great recap, Jeffrey. And I'll remind everybody, we have a cocoa webinar coming up in September. And I'll also mention that those clients on our IQ platform can listen to the premium podcast that Jeffrey and I are doing today, where we dig a little bit more into recommendations and commercially what's happening in the industry. So if you're not a IQ platform client, simply reach out to us at bikini-flavel.com or simply give us a jingle and sign up, and you can get all that great commercial information and recommendations. Thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us today. And what are you going to do this weekend? Anything crazy?
Nah, nothing crazy on the calendar at this point. I guess continue to trying to stay cool indoors and eating more ice cream.
That's right. I think that's great. And as I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. I want people to do one thing for me this weekend, and I want you to think of one thing you're grateful for as you're going through the weekend, and that'll put a smile on everybody's face, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Stay cool and enjoy your summer.
Until next week. Bye, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to Makini Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit bikini-flavel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.